listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
Hey everybody, it's Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, because you know what's good.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
Oh, hello. Hi. Are we recording today? I didn't get a memo. What are we doing? I'm not ready.
We are indeed recording. We almost weren't because it's my son's birthday, but he opted to do his stuff tonight. So rather than this morning or, yeah, when we usually record.
That's fair.
So, yeah. I was like, all right, I can record then. And so I'm here recording. And let's see, what's going on with you guys? How's your week been?
Work was amazingly terrible this week. Not terrible. I shouldn't say it like that. Mm-hmm. We just had, I mean, I'm a nurse. Most people know that. But we had our mock survey, which is our internal survey to make sure we're ready if and or when our state survey shows up, because that happens. And it just was a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. But it's over and it went actually really well. So, I can't fault anybody on my team because they all did amazing. But yeah, that was my week. My week was nothing but stress and aggravation. How about you guys?
You know what? A pretty typical week. You know, got some work done on Monday. Went to the comic book shop on Tuesday. I apologize that the dogs are being assholes today. They're just being assholes today. And I can't stop
that
it.
That happens.
So, anyway, yeah, just pretty typical week. Got another late delivery from fucking Diamond, which puts us in the shop late on Tuesdays and makes me grumpy and pissy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway.
Fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, another much. Yeah. How about you?
It was a long week at work. Big special event coming up in August, and people need to, you know, everybody's registering for it. And so I'm the lucky fucker who gets to put all that stuff up on the website. So yay me.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Last year, over 5,000 businesses participated in this event. And I'm sure it will be well over that this year, just based on the first week alone. So I'm like, oh, wee, fun. Aside from that, with nothing on the TVs except for one show, I've been catching up on some stuff I had been meaning to see. I saw this really cool movie yesterday on Netflix with, I'm forgetting everybody's name, from Eyes Wide Shut. What was her name?
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman, yeah. And Love Actually and The Importance of Being Earnest, British actor.
Hugh Grant? Nope.
Not Hugh Grant, the other one.
Colin.
Yep.
Colin Firth.
So really cool. So yeah, sorry. Really cool movie called The Railway Man. It's a true story, personal story about this World War II veteran who was captured after the fall of Malaysia, the fall of Singapore, because Britain controlled Singapore up until 1942. And he was a radio man in Singapore. He gets captured by the Japanese army and they're put to work building a train, building a railway from somewhere to Thailand, basically. And it was a big job, and they're out there having to, you know, basically they're military slave labor, And he's got serious PTSD from it. And it's all based on this true story that really happened to this guy. And it turns out to be a really beautiful, poignant story at the end. And I was like, what? How did I not know this movie was being made? But, you know, if it isn't, it seems like if it isn't Capes Flying or something like that, I'm not catching the trailers, you know what I mean?
If it doesn't get announced at Hall H, it doesn't exist.
Exactly. It does not exist in my mind. So we just got lucky and found this one. We're like, let's watch that. And we watched it. And then we were like, we needed something else to watch. And it was like, I had not yet watched Gunpowder Milkshake. It's been out for a couple of years. And I finally watched Gunpowder Milkshake and I fucking enjoyed the hell out of that. So yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it was a fun movie. A lot of fun. And then we'll talk about other things I caught up on in the moving pictures segment. But to get to that, first we have to do the news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Alan Grant, fan favorite writer known for his work on Batman, Lobo, Judge Dredd, and Anderson, that I have never heard of. Anderson, that is. Passed away at the age of 73. He's been ill for some time. The news came via Facebook by his wife, Sue Grant, and the tributes started flowing in thereafter. 2000 AD Comics, Tom King, PJ Holden, Colin Smith, etc. Did a lot of work. Did a lot of work.
No, he was significant. He was one of the... So we had what we called the British invasion of comic books in the 80s. And that was when you had Alan Moore, Alan Grant, Neil Gaiman, and a few other guys come over from England. They'd been working on in 2000 AD, basically, as well as working on Marvel Man, who's getting a rebrand as Miracle Man, I think this week, wasn't he? In October, he's getting a rebrand as Miracle Man in Marvel Comics. But anyway, he was, they had all worked on these different comics in England and they came over. DC kind of imported them over here. And Alan Moore wrote fucking Watchmen. You know, Neil Gaiman wrote The Sandman. So many of the others were just, you know, just pulling some amazing books out. And Alan Grant was just kind of there. But his work on Batman was phenomenal. And, you know, embarrassing fact, I confused him for a few years with Alan Moore because they had the same first name.
Ah.
Yeah. I remember reading Batman going, yeah, this is the guy who wrote Watchmen, right?
Don't you hate it when you do things like that?
Yeah.
I hate
Oops.
That.
Whoops.
I don't mind it if I do it when I'm all alone.
And you don't say anything to anybody else?
Yeah, if I do it in a crowd, I obviously have a problem with it.
It's when you say it out loud at a comic book store and they all look at you with that look. Everybody knows
actually
all of that look. Yeah. And you watch a dozen different eyeglasses get pushed up on a nose, pushed up the nose. Well, actually. Yeah, that was my moment of embarrassment when I realized I had confused Alan Grant with Alan Moore.
So people online are applauding actor Donna DeErico, one of the stars of the 1990s series Baywatch, after she clapped back at some women who trolled her with ageist body shaming criticism.
Look, I have no fucking idea what they're trying to shame.
DeErico is 54 years old. She looks like she's in her early 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So when you read online and you're kind of, you know, I follow some pretty women, mostly cosplayers on the Instagrams, and there's always super cringeworthy, you know, comments from desperate, thirsty guys. You know,
right.
In the comments,
right.
and the bikini picture in question that caused the jealous ladies to tell her she was too old to wear that, whatevs. Holy shit. You know what, though? Fuck it. Helen Mirren was in her 70s with the pink bikini. She looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm no ageist.
Great.
So anyway, you know, she wrote back. Quite a few women complained about the 4th of July video I posted in the red, white, and blue bikini because they thought I was, quote, classier than that, quote, too old to wear a bikini, and my favorite, quote, desperate. Let me tell you something that might surprise you. I can actually wear and do literally whatever I want. On that note, here's me in a bikini squatting on a coffee table.
Which, I know, right? I loved it. I loved it. It was so good.
The favorite,
as someone else online, I will also applaud Donna D'Errico's clapback.
Oh, sure. So my favorite fucking quote from the comment section was somebody went off about flag standards.
Oh,
you know, I'm offended that you would wear. Hang in there. Wait to the end. I'm offended that you would do that to the flag. It's disrespectful of the flag. The flag code says that we don't wear the thing as clothes. I demand you take it off immediately.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
I want to watch you do it. I want to watch you take it off.
Yeah.
Slower.
I wasn't. The first half threw me, but the second half.
Lower that flag with respect.
God bless America.
So that was a misconception I had for a long time, and I only recently learned that actually it doesn't violate the flag code. There's a whole caveat to that, and when you're wearing something that pays homage to the flag, it isn't actually wearing the flag. So, yeah, you're fine.
You know what, though? It breaks the laws of good taste.
It does. Well, true. You know, and to me, what broke the law of good taste was her singing Lee Greenwood's, you know, God Bless the USA. I was fine.
I had it on mute.
Yeah, that was the only objection. The only objection I had to that video was she was singing Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA with it playing loudly in the background. And yeah. I was like, okay, but you look great. I'm a year younger than you, and I know my body will never look that fucking amazing. Holy shit. Well done, you.
I'll put you in a bikini. Yeah.
Well done, you. I'm with that. Just like with Chris Hemsworth in Thor, it was like, well done, you. Holy shit. That takes a lot of work. And the same with D'Errico. That takes a lot of denying the foods I gobble up like they're nothing.
It's true.
That woman does not eat. Yeah.
All right. So this next article is fucking dumb, and I'm going to treat it as such. But Zack Snyder reportedly threatened to destroy Geoff Johns on social media. And Zack Snyder and his wife said, no, we didn't. And no evidence to the contrary can be shown. Now, there's a huge thing going on. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a second, but apparently the current accusation on the table against the Snyder and the gang is that they used bots to do the Snyder Cut social media thing. There's no doubt in my mind bots were used.
Oh, clearly.
I just don't think they did it.
Yeah, I think that they had fans who were able to do that for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, Zack Snyder is whatever.
That's like if you want to take a little left show trip, we've got a couple of these this episode. But do you want to do a little left show moment? It's like saying Donald Trump was responsible for the bots that got him the presidency and that kind of stuff. No, the fucker didn't code his own bots. He didn't put up his own bots. But somebody did it and did it well.
Yeah, the guy who ended up being his campaign manager later.
Right.
That was him.
Right.
Anyway.
Yep.
Let's see. I'm going to save that for last. That'll be a little good news we can throw right there.
Mm-hmm.
So Tatiana Siegel works for Rolling Stone.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks. I was so confused.
I was just waiting for you guys to applaud or something. I mean, she's so good at her work. I can hardly believe it. Anyway, she put an article together about the bots and reached out for a comment to Ray Fisher and his team. Ray Fisher says that Rolling Stone and Tatiana Siegel need to amend the article immediately. Neither myself nor anyone else on my team ever declined to comment to Rolling Stone. Furthermore, this type of rumor mill reporting is offensive, dangerous, willfully evasive. A fact. To which Rolling Stone replied, here's a copy of one of the emails we sent you asking for comment a couple days ago. To which Ray Fisher replied, hey, you cropped out the part where she switched the deadlines. What she did was turn a 6 p.m. deadline into a 5 p.m. deadline, and you're trying to tell me that you were going to call her at 5:50? Is that what you want me to believe, Ray?
Yeah.
I think you guys were ducking her.
Yep.
I don't know why you were ducking her.
Yeah, it seems a little out of character. He's done nothing but run his mouth about everything. Not that he doesn't have a right to, but...
Well, and in this case, it's an opportunity to praise the Snyder, because when the Snyderverse cut came out, we're like, oh, I get why you were pissed.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the movie at all. I don't think it's a good representation of the Justice League, but I understand why you were pissed personally, particularly at everything that, you know, Whedon said to you. So, yeah.
And wide aspect ratios.
Yeah, no shit.
Because I've told you guys the story before. I fucked around with my TV for a half an hour before I figured out it was supposed to be that way. I had a new customer, new comic book customer in the shop who was talking about it. And he also spent a half an hour fucking with his TV trying to figure out why, you know, it wasn't in widescreen. So...
Are you in widescreen format? What the fuck?
Yeah. Hey, Ray Fisher, I understand that you're upset and stuff, and you probably don't like what this article said, but as a guy who has had to deal with these kind of press deadlines for the last 30 years of my life professionally, you guys screwed the pooch. And getting pissed about it, that you fucked up, just... It really, really starts to make people think second thoughts about other shit you've said, because as far as I'm concerned, Rolling Stone got you dead to rights on this one. Sport.
Yeah. Yep.
Ray, it's not a good look, Ray. Not a good look.
I have declined to comment to the press before, and I've been told, they're going to get to say what they want to say. And you won't have your say won't be there. I'm like, I don't fucking care what they have to say. There's nothing that they can do now. Everything's destroyed. So enjoy.
Yeah.
And the same thing here. It's like they will ask you multiple times if you want to comment. And if your people are declining comment, maybe you need to look at getting new people, Ray. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that old change the deadline shit was silliness.
That's just nonsense.
That's all that was. Keanu Reeves, nicest man in the world.
Right?
Will be co-authoring a novel set in his Berserker comic universe. Friday's Comic-Con panel for the actor's Berserker comic, it was announced that he will co-author a book set in the Berserker universe. We also know that we're getting an anime, 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. So...
Nice.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Keanu.
I wonder who's going to co-write with him. I wonder if Matt Kent's ever done novels. Because Matt Kent's
talent. You might find out soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hugh Grant did his first Comic-Con. He looks worried.
Looks a little nervous there, doesn't he?
He said, in a career spanning 40 years, Hugh Grant has been a guest at almost every major film event on the planet, but this is his first time at Comic-Con. We did try to come with Sense and Sensibility, he deadpan joked to the thousands, but we were turned down.
Aw.
But yeah, apparently he did a great job. Says he's been an enthusiastic dungeon master for some years now. When the panel moderator asked questions whether Grant really is a lifelong D&D fan, one co-star joked, I think he mixed it up with S&M.
He said,
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Not wrong.
So, by the way, they released the trailer for Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
And boy, does it look like a completely different vehicle than the last time they did that.
Yeah. It looks well, for one thing, it looks amazing. It looks good.
Yep.
It looks like it's got a compelling story and a cast that actually has direction rather than somebody just going, yeah, just do what you do.
I watched it yesterday, and seriously, the very end part with Chris Pine playing a lute, I died. I'm all in now because of the fact that they were like, you play a lute.
Well, they're doing this whole thing like, we need somebody who's strong. I'm like, okay, there's the fighter character. Oh, there's the wizard. There's the, you know, the paladin. There's this, there's that. And then, you know, oh, there's the shapeshifter. Third edition. Well done. Well done. And then they get to him and it's like, so what do you do? Well, I make plans. And there's like, she's like, he also plays a lute. I'm like, he's a fucking bard? Yes. Yes. So happy. He's a fucking bard.
Owlbear.
Owlbear.
Owlbear. Well, what else have we got coming out of San Diego? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Cowabunga Collection has a release date of August 30th. For PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox One and Series, Nintendo Switch, and PC. The Superstack Collection brings 13 Turtles games, including beloved staples such as Turtles in Time for the SNES. Let's see, we talked about Dungeons & Dragons. New Transformers figures delve into Optimus Prime's origins. Got two new figures coming from the Generations Legacy series that look pretty fucking cool. There's a new Disney National Treasure movie coming, and my guess is that they're going to be looking for Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the National Treasure they can't find? Because he's not in this movie.
He is
the
National
Treasure they can't find. Oh, one thing to go back to the Dungeons & Dragons movie. Apparently, there's this arena scene. You saw like a clip of it. Somebody jumped into a gelatinous cube, and I'm like, that's never a good plan. But anyway, they apparently one of their groups, or parties, if you will, fighting in this arena. And one of the parties you see in the background is the old animated series from the 80s.
Funny.
People who are dressed like them. And I was like, thank you. I love that.
Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur getting a cartoon.
Woo-woo.
That ought to be pretty
I'm
awesome.
I'm excited for that. That'll be awesome.
That's the one you want. You want to make sure. Okay, so dear parents who are upset about Jessica Jones and Daredevil and all the other Netflix ones getting put on Disney, and now you have to have a parental permissions. And also you've been trying to watch things like Moon Knight with your kids, and they're getting nightmares and shit. This is the one your kids are going to want to watch. You want to put this one on with the kids.
Yeah.
Particularly this one.
Yeah.
William Shatner will appear in Masters of the Universe Revolution. That's great, even though I'm pretty pissed at him right now.
Mm-hmm.
let's see, where else are we at? Wheel of Time. Amazon's Wheel of Time has been renewed for a third season before we even see season 2.
Mm.
So I think that's pretty fucking cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Let's see. What else have we got? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel coming in December. SpongeBob SquarePants Universe is getting a crossover event with the Tidal Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'll be fun. DC has no plans to make more Snyderverse movies. We're going to talk about that more in the TV news. What else do we got here? Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power dropped a new trailer that makes me want to watch it even more.
Yes.
Which I didn't think was possible after the last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Original Gremlin star Zach Galligan will return for the Secrets of the Mogwai.
Well, you know, what else is he doing?
That's true.
Honestly. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, female dwarves will have beards.
As they should.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
I Am Groot trailer. Did you guys catch that one?
For the shorts?
Yeah.
Yes. So cute.
Looks adorable.
So cute.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Marvel's What If got a season 2 announcement. Spider-Man Freshman Year arrives on Disney Plus in 2024 with Charlie Cox voicing Daredevil.
I know. Oh, trust me. I'm up on my Daredevil news, you guys.
Yeah.
X-Men 97 will premiere on Disney Plus.
Fall of 2023. That'll make you so happy. That's your favorite thing.
That's my favorite thing ever.
Marvel Zombies on Disney Plus will have all the gore and splatter you want from a zombie TV show. Tales of the Walking Dead got its first full trailer at San Diego Comic-Con. 2-minute trailer. Mm-hmm. Makes me actually kind of want to get back into that universe. So does the announcement of the Rick and Michonne show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Walking Dead gets new trailer. Mandalorian got new season 2 figures because the figures are always behind.
Way behind, when you think about it. It feels like we should have had Mandalorian season 2 figures already, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
As the guy who sells that shit and tries to sell it once it's gone flat, you know? Mm-hmm. So, because you remember when Falcon and the Winter Soldier came out, there was a clamor, indeed, a loud cacophony of people that wanted truth.
Right.
You know, so a year later, Marvel got around to doing the reprints. I bought a bunch of them, remembering how many people wanted them. I still have half a bunch.
I imagine you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. Very frustrating.
I'm sure.
Some of this is just boring shit. Keanu Reeves anime confirmed for 2 seasons.
William Shatner managed to, well, he's got a fan-funded documentary he's going to do about his life, but I'm sure if he's doing it, it will gloss over certain parts of it.
Sure. It's the definitive documentary, fan-funded with Legion M, revealed to IGN at the Comic-Con Live show that his documentary will be the definitive look at his life. Mm-hmm. All righty. Batman and Spawn are going to cross over again, and I think they've made a huge mistake. They're gonna have Greg Capullo draw it, which will be nice, and then they're gonna have Todd McFarlane write it,
which will not be nice.
I think they ought to flip that.
Yeah,
I know that Greg Capullo knows how to spell, and I know that Todd McFarlane does not. So that's a little news that makes no fucking sense. Daniel Craig would like to be a guest on Archer. I think that would be epic.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme X-Men returns to Marvel Comics. Okie dokie.
Big news, though. The X-Men writer, Chris Claremont, is coming back to write it.
Oh.
For how long, I don't know, but he's going to be writing it. Now, he's the one who created Extreme X-Men. It was like the last thing he was writing for Marvel before he took another hiatus, because he wrote Uncanny X-Men for years, stopped, but still had like kind of a friendship with Marvel. And then he came up with the idea of doing Extreme X-Men, which would be just basically an X-Men team that just goes on big adventures. And the original idea was they want to do something they called cinematic style. So basically, when you bought the comic book, you would turn it on its side and you would read it, and the whole thing would lay out in these great big widescreen panels, and it was cool. But yeah, it was a really cool idea. But yeah, they're finally going to bring back both the original team and, you know, the original art team, which was him, and I can't remember who drew it with him, but yeah, he's coming back. It'll be fun.
Oh, what else we got? Black Adam, new trailer, and The Rock showed up in full costume for his panel.
Because he can.
Dude, if I looked like that in that costume, I wouldn't take that fucking costume off. Are you kidding me?
Like, I don't understand why he even owns clothes. Like, he can own bottoms, but he just needs to walk around with no shirt on the entire time.
Right?
There's no costume needed for The Rock.
That's fair.
Why do you need to wear a shirt? You have a shirt. Your torso looks like that. Don't wear a shirt.
Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3 got a new trailer, and they're going to visit Deep Space Nine.
That was that, I thank you for putting that at the end of the trailer, whoever put the trailer together, because that had me laughing so hard. I am currently on my season six rewatch of the six. I'm on the sixth season in my rewatch of Deep Space Nine. I just did Far Beyond the Stars, just watched Far Beyond the Stars, the best episode ever of Star Trek period. And here we have, they did Deep Space Nine. I was just like, I was giggling so loud.
Star Trek Strange New World Season 2 will feature a live-action animation crossover with Lower Decks.
Time Bureau's going to be pissed.
Yeah. Got a new Sandman trailer that was fucking awesome.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Jenna Coleman.
You get to see the Corinthian's eyes. You get to see him just for a second. You get to see his eyes. I was like, oh, it's so cool.
And then, you know, you got Jenna Coleman as Constantine's grandma.
Yeah, Joanna Constantine. Actually, I think they're... So we were talking about this here at home, and I said, well, Neil Gaiman pretty much owns the rights to the Sandman. He cut that deal with DC long ago when they were struggling to come back, and he was the beginning of the British invasion. He cut the deal that he kind of owns the Sandman. And all the characters he created, he owns them. Now, he doesn't own John Constantine, because that was a character created by Alan Moore before there was any kind of deal with DC. So DC owns John Constantine, but he created the character Joanna Constantine, Constantine's great-grandmother, and this idea of a legacy of Constantine's. He can use her in the place of John Constantine, which I think is great. So in that one issue where he was interacting with John Constantine in the first in the first series, this is where she'll kind of step in and replace that part, which I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And I understand that this is somebody he owns, so he doesn't have to go through all the mucky muck with DC to get Constantine and have to listen to the fans going, why don't you get Matt Ryan?
She-Hulk and Black Panther both got new trailers. She-Hulk looked fun, kind of cracked me up, and Black Panther looked sad as fuck.
Yes, it did.
Looks sad as fuck. And then you get in She-Hulk, you get the first indication that she will be breaking the fourth wall. Which she was, before Deadpool, she was the first character in Marvel Comics to break the fourth wall on a regular basis, thanks to John Byrne and his series, on his She-Hulk series.
Right, so, like that trailer looked so delightfully fun. And not just because of the end of it, you guys. Like the She-Hulk trailer in and of itself. You could have cut the part with my favorite character off of that trailer, and I still would have been excited for this show.
Yep.
However, the fact that Daredevil was in the trailer just made me go,
I'm pretty sure you could feel it. Like a disturbance in the force. Well,
like, you sent me that message about the news, and I had already seen it. And when I saw the news of Daredevil, I audibly, in my house, in my living room, audibly yelled out loud and clapped.
Was I mistaken? Was he in the yellow suit in that trailer?
No.
No. He was in the red suit,
yeah,
right?
He was in the red suit. Yeah.
There was something about it. There was something yellow that flashed, and I was like, is he in yellow? Because that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
To revisit the Daredevil yellow moments. But yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. But yeah, no, it was cool to see him. It was cool to see, and to see him, not Matt Murdock, which you would expect in She-Hulk Attorney at Law. But obviously, you could have the thing where, you know, she's interacting with Matt Murdock in one scene, and then he shows up as Daredevil in another. So
right.
All right.
Yeah.
Lightning round.
Oh dear.
Because we are running long. Marvel's Secret Invasion coming to Disney Plus next spring. Marvel's Thunderbolts will conclude Phase 5, end of summer 2024. Captain America New World Order coming in 2024. That's going to be the fourth Captain America film. First for Anthony Mackie as Cap. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man and the Wasp gets a first look at Kang the Conqueror and MODOK. MODOK.
Ooh.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 new trailer was shown at the Comic-Con. Marvel's Echo, Loki Season 2, Ironheart, Agatha series all get narrowed release windows. So they're coming, you know, when.
Well, they have a year. They have a year and a season.
Yeah,
right.
Summer, autumn, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yep. MCU Phase 6 will begin with Fantastic Four, end with Avengers: The Kang Dynasty and Avengers: Secret Wars.
Great,
Avengers Endgame.
This. Just give us two Avengers movies, just to kind of pull everybody back together again. Yeah.
And then the last one is the Russo brothers are not coming back for Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
I don't know why anyone thought they would.
But you missed the most important news, which is the Daredevil show. 18 episodes, you guys. So excited.
That's the longest they've done one of these Disney Plus series. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. That's really cool.
And it's the Born Again story. Well, it's subtitled Born Again.
Okay, well,
so if they take from that storyline, that's an amazing storyline. I'm so excited.
I support this 100%.
Brian Michael Bendis sends the following message to his fans. Rules for signing. If you bought the book, I'll sign it for free. That's it. That's the rules.
Yep.
My philosophy.
My philosophy is if you bought the book, you got the, you it comes with a signature. You just have to go find the signature.
So he'll sign anything you want. He says he knows that there's creators that charge, and he just won't because he wants to say thank you.
The funny thing is he's at that point where he could.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he's no Stan Lee yet, but he's close, and he could start charging, but he doesn't want to, and I think that's a stand-up thing to do.
Yep. At long last, that's it for the news.
Woo! Thank you, San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some television and movies.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
We can share a love divine.
Hi, I'm Adrian Paul, and I'm listening to Hold 322, the world's greatest podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
What have you guys been watching this week? Let's start with Joss.
So I didn't watch a lot this week, but Disney Plus just recently, and I don't know how recently, but they dropped a bunch of Baymax shorts. Baymax, if you don't know, hopefully everybody knows this, is from Big Hero 6. A delightful movie based on a comic book. Mm-hmm. And Baymax is a delightful character who just brings me lots and lots of joy. And so we, my Minnie and I, watched all of the Baymax shorts, and they were delightfully adorable and cute and just fun. Just go watch them because they're fun. And then the only other thing I managed to get watched was the first 2.5 episodes of the new season of The Boys, which was also delightfully fun in a much different way than Baymax. I don't recommend it for your children.
Oh, God, no. Not at all.
What about you guys?
One of the things I failed to mention on our roundup, I went and saw the dinosaur movie. Dinosaur movie number 6.
Yeah.
It was a hot mess, and I fucking loved it.
Perfect.
You had two separate storylines going with the original Jurassic Park cast. You know, and then the Jurassic World cast. And I didn't know that they were going to do that, and that actually ended up being way cool. There was a big, dumb dinosaur fight at the end, because you got to have a big, dumb dinosaur fight at the end. And it was fucking awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I quite enjoyed it. You know, was it a good movie? No. Not by any stretch of the imagination. It was just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm glad I went and saw it in a theater.
Nice. I need to see it. We used to call those big, dumb Jerry Bruckheimer movies because, you know, like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Yeah. And Yeah, just you literally have to turn off your brain. They're just popcorn eating movies. They are movies that you sit and watch while you're eating popcorn. They're not great. They don't fit that definition of a good movie, but they are a lot of fun. I like them. I need to go see that one. And Top Gun, I hear, is actually really quite delightful.
You know
as well.
What? Top Gun was fucking awesome.
Right. I haven't gotten to that one
and
yet
it's
either.
Like,
but
was the storyline great? No. Was the premise good? No.
No.
Was the airplane ship top fucking notch? Holy shit, yes.
You know. Have to be right. If it was Top Gun, right? Because that was the telling point of the 80s one.
Well, I watched the 80s one right before we went and saw the new one. That 80s one is like a Cessna commercial. Boom.
No shit. But the I remember the selling point of the 80s one because everybody was comparing it to
Iron Eagle.
And in Iron Eagle, they basically used models and just sort of crashed and blew up models. And this one in the original Top Gun, the 80s Top Gun, they used actual jet planes and had actual people flying jet planes up in the sky. Obviously not Tom Cruise, people who actually knew how to fly jet planes.
Who's to say the fucker doesn't know how?
He might.
Well, I'm sure he does now. I mean, fuck, I watched the MasterChef stuff and all that with Gordon Ramsay. That fucker is flying planes. He's doing all this shit. And I'm like, when do you have time to learn this, Gordon? You're always on TV. When the fuck do you have time to learn how to fly a plane? But apparently he learned at some point. Yeah.
Let's see.
When you got that kind of money, you just throw it at him. It's like John Travolta. He's like, I want to learn to fly jets. So he just threw money at it until he learned how to fly. Yeah.
Started up the season on the Orville. Enjoying it so far. I'm only a couple episodes in. Haven't really had a lot of time. Last night, because it's on the Disney Plus, we threw on Logan. And you know the fight he gets into with the guys that are trying to steal his tires at the beginning?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So Tiffany asks me, she's like, is the rest of the movie like this? I'm like, I don't think so. I don't remember it. I don't remember a lot of violence at all until the end. Yeah, I was wrong. I was pretty wrong.
The rest of the movie is like that. Yeah, the rest of the movie is exactly like that.
It was awesome.
I honestly have not been able to rewatch Logan since I watched it in theaters. I have tried multiple times. And something about it, I'm sure because of when it came out and the circumstances I was personally going through, I shut down every single time. But I do love that movie.
It's fun.
Extra triggering that one.
It's fun listening to Professor X drop F-bomb.
Yes, it is.
And then, of course, the scene with Hugh Jackman beating the shit out of the truck with that shovel until he passes out just made me laugh. Mm-hmm. And then on the Netflix... the new opus from the Russo brothers, The Gray Man, with Captain America and Ryan Gosling and some other folks that you might recognize when you watch it. And Ana de Armas. Oh, she's pretty and really good. And it was certainly not Avengers Endgame, but it was a lot of fun anyway. You know, it was, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it paid homage to several action films that have come before, but based on I believe, a comic book. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Ryan Gosling was great. Chris Evans was creepy as fuck, as you can guess just by looking at that fucking mustache of his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True. I mean, fair.
That's about all I watched this week.
For me this week, latest episodes of The Orville and What We Do in the Shadows. I'm glad you're finally getting into The Orville into New Horizons. We get a two-parter that's not one after the other. It's kind of, you get one and then you get a few episodes and you get another, which is a little more realistic, I think, for what the characters are going through. But it's kind of this big payoff to shit that happened in season two, I think, of The Orville.
All right.
And it's a really good payoff. The week prior to that, I was so happy. It was just a dumb, funny episode, because every week it's been like just this gut punch of an episode that just, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling emotions. Okay, I'm feeling emotions. Okay, I'm feeling emotions. This one, I'm like, that's funny all the way through. So it was great. I'm glad that he gave me a light episode in amidst all this stuff, because it was a lot. The What We Do in the Shadows, the Vampire Nightclub opened. Big payoff on that one as well. So that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
The punchline at the end got set up at the beginning, and you didn't know it was coming. So it was just fucking hilarious by the time you got to the end. Then I watched the entire season 3 of The Boys this last week, with my son.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, there was more. I'm only 2.5 episodes in, and it was so much. It's already been so much. I keep getting interrupted by my child, who, if she comes out of her room, I have to pause it because.
Yeah, you do.
It's not good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, we lost JC.
Yep.
Well, we'll see how this goes.
So.
Should I run the show or should I pause? Let's pause.
Let's pause.
So let's do some TV news.
DC's Jim Lee says there are no more plans for Snyderverse material. Gee, I wonder why. Mr. Destroyed on the Internet by Zack Snyder and his wife. Sheesh.
Yep. Well, and that, and most of us who are regular fans are like, what? Why do you even want this? This is not a representation of your comic books, you know. Maybe if your only comic book was Justice League Gods Among Us, which is like this, you know, death of the Justice League, this horrible thing all the way through, it's like that would be fine. But no, this is
I think what it is it's fucking Godot, Affleck, and Cavill. That's what I want back. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about Zack Snyder. I just want more Batfleck. That's all. I want somebody to give Henry Cavill a good fucking script, because he's shown in other vehicles that he can act his ass off. You know?
Right.
I agree.
Oh, fair. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, I think that's what the hullabaloo is mostly about, though people won't admit it. That's all.
Yeah.
Thor Love and Thunder, minor fan favorite MCU character, is working in New Asgard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Daryl. Remember Thor's roommate during Civil War? Daryl.
I think that's sweet. Aw.
Yeah.
Cool. If you watch the Thor roommate shorts.
The shorts,
Daryl is such a picked on guy that it's like, ah, give the guys due. Thank you.
Which is pretty nice.
The
Blue Beetle suit. It will be comic book accurate. I'm absolutely trying to avoid saying his name. Zolo Maraduena?
Sure.
Maraduena?
I'll go
close
with
enough.
That.
Close enough.
I accept it.
Anyway, they've had a couple pictures of the suit sneak out, and it looks just like the one from the comics, which is pretty cool.
What's really cool is that was just somebody taking a picture off their phone.
Yeah.
And it looked like if that walked through San Diego, you'd be like, wow, dude, how many hours did you spend on that Blue Beetle costume? That's perfect. But when they put it on screen, they'll do filtering. They'll do all this other stuff, some CG work. It's going to look even better. So, yeah, I was like, this is going to be fucking cool.
All right. Strap in. This one's weird.
Brace yourselves.
Justified City Primeval We all know that Olafantastic's coming back for Justified. We're all very excited about it. Very nice. They're filming in Chicago. But production had to halt after outsiders engaged in a gun battle drove through barricades in Chicago. The Chicago Police Department has released a statement in response to the shooting that temporarily shut down the Justified set. The Chicago Police Department is committed to ensuring members of the city's vibrant film and television community are able to do their job safely. We work in close coordination with Chicago Film Office, Department of Cultural Affairs, Special Events, Office of Emergency Management and Communications to ensure production crews have resources necessary to feel safe and secure while filming in the city's neighborhoods. I think there might be a reason that all the Batman filming moved to fucking Glasgow.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But yeah, the two cars whose occupants were engaged in a gunfight smashed through the show's barricades, went zooming through the set.
Really, guys? Really?
Incident happened one day after a crew member was shot dead on the New York City set of the NBC drama Law and Order Organized Crime. Jeez.
A bad time to apparently be filming in big cities.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But yeah, the whole thing, it's just fun from one end to the other and is absolutely covered in the headline. But that is it for the TV news.
All right, another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
Hi, guys. My name's Gigi Edgley, and I play Chiana on Farscape, and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge. And you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Enjoy. As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hey gang, Jeff here. This segment of the program is brought to you by The Nerd Store. The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley, Utah, brings you everything you need to complete your geek. The airlock to Epic, The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall or nerdstoreutah.com.
We got a box!
What is it?
Oh, you'll see.
No! What's in the box?
Let's do some comic book news.
The Republican war on queer comic books is both dystopian and cruel. Comics' growing cultural cachet also correlates with greater cultural visibility for gay people. Now, Maya Kobabe's beautiful genderqueer is caught up in the backlash. At the end of May, the Virginia Pilot, daily newspaper of Norfolk, Virginia, ran a legal notice in its classified section warning readers that it might become illegal to sell or lend a particular book. Kobabe's Genderqueer, which, incidentally, I brought in six copies the minute I found out about it.
Yeah, no shit.
They're for sale at Dr. Volt's because we sell banned books. Anyway, it was the subject of an obscenity lawsuit in Virginia Beach, and the judge in the case found probable cause to believe that the book was obscene for unrestricted viewing by minors. The affecting story of a young person assigned female at birth, struggling to define their identity. Neo pronouns. I'm going to fuck those up. My apologies. Genderqueer has won or been nominated for several awards, but its fate in Virginia will be decided by a retired judge at the end of August. It's the latest salvo in an arguably long or years-long war on queer cartoonists and authors waged by Republicans eager to shore up support by persecuting and slandering minorities. The complainant in Virginia is Tommy Altman, a Republican candidate for the state's 2nd Congressional District, who placed third in a four-way primary in June, but is But it is, frankly, a little bit shocking that the case will be heard at all. Obscene for unrestricted viewing by minors is not a legal category in any statute, state or federal.
Right. Like, oh, you guys, this is painful. I don't like it.
Just before,
that's like that we now have another left show segment, you know, the GOP war on queer comic books. The GOP war on comic books. Funny enough, the GOP war on comic books is what launched this fucking podcast from the left show that Jeff and I were doing.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't like the fact that Miles Morales wasn't white.
Yep.
I remember.
Very upset. Anyway, yeah, Virginia Beach School Board voted to have genderqueer removed from libraries for being pervasively vulgar. It is the most challenged book of 2021, according to the American Library Association, knocking Alex Gino's George, a novel about being a transgender child, off the list for the first time in the 5 years since its publication. Altman's case is absurd, but that doesn't mean that he won't ultimately prevail, and the threat of legal action is often more than enough to prevent retailers from carrying a book in the first place. Assholes.
Right? I just, we don't want to make your kids queer. We just want to see them grow up. That's all. Let them read the book.
And let them have representation that doesn't make them feel terrible about who they are.
Right.
And,
well, yeah,
and give
I mean,
them,
the meme, the meme I like the most on that is, you know, how many books about straight people have queer kids had to read and they're still queer? That's not
exactly.
That's not how being queer and not queer happens.
Mm-hmm. How many books about, you know, gender normative people have, you know, trans kids had to read and yet they still, you know, they still want to choose a different gender. Come on.
How many games of D&D have I played and I'm still not a goddamn muscle-bound barbarian? I mean, come on!
You almost qualify as a bard, though, because you have the guitar in the background.
That's five guitars. Thank you very much. Webtoon.
I can only see one.
Webtoon, popular mobile online comics platform owned by Korean tech giant Naver, just announced its payments to English language comics creator, and the results are a little eye-opening in an industry quite famous for ripping off artists.
Yeah.
According to Webtoon, payouts to English language creators topped over $27 million since 2020, or more than $1 million a month on average. That represents an increase in nearly 75% since launching its creator monetization program in the U.S. in 2019. Mm-hmm. God damn.
You get paid based on the popularity of your comic. Right? I mean, obviously the guy's writing the Batman Family Adventures. And there's a new Zatanna Adventures that just launched that's really cool as well. I'm reading both of them on that platform.
Yeah.
You know they're making a lot of money because they have tons of people reading them. They got tons of people subscribe, and people can subscribe and get five weeks advanced comics every time. So it's like, yeah, they're raking in the cash on Webtoons, but in a weird turn of fate, they're actually distributing the cash back out to its creators to keep them on board and keep them happy. And the Batman Wayne Family Adventures comic strip has been really fucking good. It's definitely geared toward young people. It reads like a comic strip. It's not going to be super gritty or anything like that. And usually there's a positive message at the end, but it's really good. And, it hits all the right beats. It pays homage to the characters in the right way. And the fact that Bruce has like 10 different teenagers living in his mansion at any given moment,
fair.
And all working for him. It's fucking right. Awesome. Yeah.
And Nyung Seo. I'm learning how to say hello in Korean.
Oh, okay. Nyung Seo. I could write a comic strip for you.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn how to say, please buy my comic book in Korean. That one's going to be difficult.
Yep.
We'll come back to this. We'll get a little Duolingo
if
going.
If you do, from what I've read, from what I've seen on Webtoons, if you're kind of anime-oriented, manga-oriented, and you're willing to do kind of a manga version of, you know, manga-style comic strip, man, Webtoons is going to grab it because their fans love it. Their fans eat it up. The fact that they've grabbed one from Marvel and two from DC so far that have been okay. The Marvel one was okay because it was in Eternals. And based on the movie, but the two DC ones have been amazing. So yeah, but otherwise, if you're creating something, think about doing it in kind of an anime or manga style, and you'll probably take off. I'll get my daughter to draw the book, and I'll write something. You know, we'll
there
get
you
it
go.
Soon. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm still over here learning Korean. apparently, it plays well. It pays well.
Yeah. It pays very well.
Then, to follow up, Marvel's Movie Math comic creators claim it's bait and switch on payments. Writers and artists who create characters that power the Marvel Cinematic Universe say the company offers a labyrinthian... I know I said that wrong. Compensation system that completely underpays them.
Mm-hmm.
In July of 2021, Scarlett Johansson stunned Hollywood with a lawsuit accusing Disney of breach of contract for sending Black Widow day-to-date to Disney+. A move her lawyers said diminished its box office and the star's back-end compensation. As that legal battle stretched into the summer, two other Black Widow stakeholders were quietly seeking what they believed they were owed. The comic book creators behind Yelena Belova, the character played by Florence Pugh, spent months in a back and forth with Marvel to receive payment for her appearance in the film. Writer Devin Grayson and artist J.G. Jones believe they would take home $25,000 each for her appearance in Black Widow, thanks to paperwork they signed outlining how much they would receive for the films, TV shows, video games, action figures featuring Yelena. But when Grayson and Jones, who created Yelena in 1999, eventually received payment, the $25,000 was down to about $5,000 with no explanation. Grayson spent the last year seeking an answer in a journey that sheds light on how Marvel compensates the comic book writers and artists buying the characters, fueling the most successful film franchise in history.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
It is.
It's a little like we used to hear about this in the 90s and early 2000s, how writers would get executive producer deals so they could get money on the back end, and then they'd turn around and, you know, they wouldn't see any money because Hollywood would do this creative math based on, well, we had to market your movie and we had to do all this. So the actual profits were zero. But meanwhile, there were executives walking away with millions, you know, from the whole thing. The studio, obviously walking away with millions. So, you know, you're trying to get a profit share and there was no profit. Lawyers figured out a way around that, obviously, because otherwise Robert Downey Jr. wouldn't have made the money he made doing all the Marvel movies. And then got his co-stars like Scarlett Johansson in on it. And, you know, that was why what fueled her lawsuit. But yeah, for the creators, this was bullshit. This was some bullshit. Because it was like $25,000. Okay. But you have to, it's $25,000 for both of you. You have to share that. Okay. Well, where's my $17,500? Oh, well, Yelena's only in part of the movie. I'm like, bullshit. She's the entire fucking movie.
Right. Wait, yeah.
From scene one to scene 1,000, she is the entire fucking movie. Don't tell me she's only in part of the movie. And they claim that she was only in part of the movie. They've yet to see any money for the action figures they've made of Yelena Belova. It's like, yeah, fuck off, Marvel.
Right.
What happened to you, Marvel? You used to be cool, but in reality, you've always ripped off your creators. Yeah.
That's true. That is true. Yep. It's also true that that's it for the news.
Well, let's find out what you've been reading this week. Let's start with Joss.
I didn't read anything this week. I'm so sorry, you guys. How about you, Jeff?
Picked up Axe Judgment Day #1.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was all right. Look, I don't really have a very high bar for spring events. So okay, it number one cleared the bar, the very low bar that I have. No big deal. Okay. Stray Dogs Dog Days, that is the sequel to Stray Dogs. And I'll be honest, I'm just bringing this up because it's fucking cool. It came out in trade paperback this week.
Fair.
Nice.
So, I read it when it was in floppies, mm-hmm. but it's out. You know, that's all.
Cool.
How about you, sir?
I was going to say I didn't read anything this week, but I did read. I had some stuff from last week that I hadn't finished yet. So, and the one I want to talk about is Wolverine. We just finished a story arc for Wolverine that involved Deadpool. It seems like the entire point of this story was to get Deadpool back into their Black Ops team, X-Force, which I thought he'd never left. And yet, for some reason, they kicked him out after they became the Nation of Krakoa. Don't recall that. I don't read X-Force, so I didn't know that it happened, but it had happened. And now Wolverine is, he's Wolverine. and there was just a sweet little moment right at the end when he's like, "Hey, Wade, get over here. We need you." And they're having an X-Force meeting. So it was a moment of Wade being finally accepted back into the mutant nation.
Aww.
Yep.
Very good.
But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick up the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
So what are you looking forward to this week? Let's start with Joss.
So let's start mainstream. I am going to maybe possibly look to pick up the trade paperback of Pennyworth, which is collecting Pennyworth numbers 1 through 7 from DC Comics. Pennyworth, of course, Alfred Pennyworth is Batman's faithful, loyal butler. Mm-hmm. But this is all about a secret mission from his Cold War era M16 counterintelligence days. And it's going to throw him back into that. And I like the idea, and there's a TV show as well that is maybe based on this comic book. I don't know.
A little bit. He looks like he looks like the character in Pennyworth. The way they put him in the TV series Pennyworth, they kind of make the younger version of him look like that. And there's some weird shit that goes on, which is very much like the TV series Pennyworth because it's weird, fucking weird. Other than that, it's a pretty straightforward Alfred story. It's a really good one.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a really good one. But then also from Marvel Comics, the variants number 2, a Jessica Jones mystery from Gail Simone. And if I wasn't already all in on this from the first issue, the cover is Jessica kissing Daredevil, you guys. And I don't know if I've expressed enough of how much I love Daredevil. So
it's like your fanfic all come to life.
I know, right? It's like my worlds are colliding. I love it. How about you, Jeff?
Well, several out. Never mind. I had Pennyworth down 4 hours before you did, but that's fine. You go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
I missed that.
We only send these things so that we don't pick each other's picks.
Apologize.
You know what?
Gosh.
No, I am the most frequent offender of this game. I'm just busting your balls.
Everybody out there, just go pick up the trade for Pennyworth because I'd love to see a sequel. So, everybody, go pick up a trade for Pennyworth, fuckers. Come on, I want Pennyworth.
I was just excited to pick something from DC.
I was excited for you, with an asterisk.
I'm sorry.
Marvel's relaunching Gambit. We'll see how that goes. I enjoyed Mr. and Mrs. Gambit or whatever the fuck that was called that Kelly Thompson did a couple of years back. Mr. and Mrs. X, was it? Do you remember?
Something like that.
But that was kind of funny. That was Rogue and Gambit in space, mm-hmm. as I recall. Gambit is just one of those characters from the 90s I liked.
This looks like... going back. This looks like not a, I wouldn't say a reboot, but like we're gonna tell some old stories, because you got Gambit and Young Storm, which there was a whole thing where Storm got de-aged. She meets Gambit. They hang out for a while, and then you know, through the magic of Chris Claremont comic books, she becomes adult again, and that was how he gave her powers back after they'd been taken from her.
Yeah.
So
fun.
So yeah, I'm like, if this tells me more stories from that era, that's kind of fun. Yeah.
As opposed to X-Men 97.
Exactly.
When I believe they made Gambit Hungarian first, no reason.
No, he had a bad Cajun accent, but it was still at least an attempt at a Cajun accent.
He was doing the Wilford Brimley from Human Target.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. A guarantee.
Exactly.
Just cut that up with a bit of onion.
He said "cher" more often than Sonny Bono ever said "cher."
There you go. There you go. So what are your mainstream picks there?
My mainstream picks this week, both from Marvel. Well, one is definitely Marvel. The other is kind of Marvel. Marvel's publishing it. Ant-Man number one. This is a 4-issue limited series that will take us through all the different Ant-Mans. I don't know if we'll get the pervert Ant-Man that got squished. He got turned into a robot and then squished, if you remember.
Nope.
This one.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Grady. Grady, I think his last name was O'Grady or something like that. He was this shield. He was this fuck up shield agent who was basically, you know, a Blue Lives kind of shield agent, who stole the Ant-Man suit and used the power to like spy on women when they were showering and stuff. And he wound up getting hooked into this whole Secret Avengers kind of secret agent thing. You remember with Secret Agent Steve, Jeff?
Yeah, that I remember.
And that was written by, what's his name? Rick Remender. The whole series was written by Rick Remender. So you can imagine just how cringeworthy it got as it went along. And because Rick Remender is only good when he's writing his own shit, not when he's writing Marvel's shit. And we get to the end, and yeah, O'Grady got somehow turned into they were dealing with this whole robot uprising, and I'm like, there can't be that fucking many synthetics in the Marvel universe, you know? Come on, all living on Earth at the same time. I could count like 10 that have occurred in the, and they had like thousands. And maybe they were at a point of singularity where they were creating machines. Well, they were creating their own machines. And so O'Grady got in there, they find him, they kill him, and then they replace him with a synthetic version of himself, a robot version that was supposed to spy back on Steve. I can't call him Cap. Steve's team of this Secret Avengers group. And then he winds up getting squished just because everybody was fucking done with this. And we didn't want this to happen anymore. So he wound up getting squished, not by any Avenger, just by a villain, before he could finish his mission as evil robot Ant-Man. So I don't know if they'll be doing that Ant-Man.
Wow.
I don't know if they'll be doing that Ant-Man. They're definitely doing the tail. So this first one is going to be Hank Pym. The next one will be, I'm sure, Scott Lang. Maybe the next one will be O'Grady. And then the fourth one will be somebody else.
Well, okay,
yeah.
Then.
Yep. The Ant-Man of the future. And he's got a cool black suit and everything.
Ant-Man 2099.
Yeah. Exactly. And then also for Marvel, boy, this is a big one for me. Wild Cards number one. I'm mad. They've done Wild Cards before in comic books over the years. They've had different Wild Cards comics come out. Wild Cards was a series of novels, anthology novels in the 90s, that were basically, it was like a comic book universe being created, but in novel form. And all these different writers would contribute these stories of these superheroes. This alien spaceship crashes on Earth, and in doing so, it releases this radiation over the tri-state area that winds up basically giving everybody superpowers. And, this happens in like the 50s, and then it moves forward into the 20th century. Some of the characters some of the characters being able to move forward with it, or sorry, in the 20th, the 50s with the 20th century into the 80s and 90s is what I meant to say. And some of the characters move forward with it who are immortal. The idea is that if you came in contact with this radiation, it was like drawing a card. If you drew a regular card, you didn't get any superpowers. If you drew an ace, the lucky few who drew the ace, they're gifted with superpowers. But the bulk of the people who encountered it became jokers, which were mutations of humans, basically monsters and stuff. So, yeah, that gave you a whole lot of things. The heroes, a whole lot of monsters to fight, basically. So that was kind of fun. So I'm looking forward to this one coming from Marvel. It's called Drawing of the... It's just a four-parter called Drawing of the Cards. I'm sure it will gloss over a lot of it, and I don't think we'll ever see anything from Fortunato, which was a very sexy story, as I recall. His powers being based on tantric magic, which is sex magic. So, yeah. And then my indie pick this week from Valiant. Hello, Valiant. Haven't heard from you for a while, at least in our picks. Book of Shadows, number one. Shadow Man, Punk Mambo, Eternal Warrior, Dr. Mirage. Everybody supernatural is basically teaming up to fight a threat coming to the Valiant universe, a mystical threat. So it's kind of, yeah, it's Justice League Dark. It's Defenders. It's, you know, Midnight Suns. It's basically, but they're using the Valiant characters. And Cullen Bunn's writing it, so that immediately got me excited for it, so. And I like Shadow Man a lot. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie picks?
Just a little technical aside. So the POS system that we use at the shop, when you're doing a search, mm-hmm. requires you to put in, before it will even pay any attention to you whatsoever, four characters.
Okay.
So the computer gymnastics you have to do to bring up Maw, which is three characters, is fucking insane. And so having been that upset at this book, not its fault, now that it's coming out, Maw is coming out in trade paperback, Jude Ellis and S. Doyle, and it's... Yeah, it looks good. It's about, Marion Angela Weber hopes to gain some perspective and empowerment at a feminist retreat with her sister Wendy on the remote island of Angatia. Some perspective that isn't at the bottom of a bottle for once. But after an assault on her first night on the island, everything goes horrible wrong. The violent encounter awakens something monstrous in Marion, triggering a warp mutation in her body and bringing forth a hunger she can't bring herself to name. What?
Vampires. What?
I think it's vampires.
It could be. Could be vampires.
And then from Oni Press, I'm picking up Blink number one. When Booker was three, she was found catatonic and covered in blood in the streets of New York City. Since that day, she's been haunted by a childhood she can't remember. After decades of searching, Ren stumbles upon a cryptic website streaming multiple CCTV feeds from strange rooms in a ruined building, and something clicks, setting off hidden memories. Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun.
That sounds pretty intriguing.
Yep.
Yep.
So there's a lot more, but the rest of the solicitation, I think, gives the story away. So I'm just going to stop there and point over at Jocelyn.
Thank you. Thank you. I am going to grab from Image Comics Public Domain number two by everybody's favorite writer, Chip Zdarsky. I was all in with number one, but the solicitation made me laugh really hard because it says, after last issue's bombshell revelation, the Dallas brothers turn to the one person who can save them, Sammy Sockham. Note to speculators, this is the first appearance of Sammy Sockham. The... in parentheses, presumably hit series by Chip Zdarsky continues. presumably hit. I just love Chip Zdarsky, and I have for many, many years now. And this is a really great comic book that is touching on some really big issues in the comic book world. So I know. I think, are we all reading this one?
I am.
I didn't say you read it. I know. Number one. Yeah, Jeff, did you read number one? Or not so much?
Public image or public domain?
Public domain.
No, it's sitting in my hold.
Okay, fair.
Waiting for me to have enough money to buy it.
Yeah.
Why don't?
What I liked about this one was Zdarsky said that his original idea for the first issue cover, and he passed it over to Matt Fraction saying, "What do you think of this as the cover for public domain number one?" And Matt Fraction was like, "It's fucking brilliant." It's the indicia at the bottom that goes in the corner that says who owns the copyright to the book. And that's all it was going to be. Was the cover was just going to be the copyright notice on the book, the indicia notice. And I was like, oh my God, that is so brilliant. He said, nah, we decided not to do it because it became nobody would get it. And I'm like, I get it. And he put that out to his Substack subscribers that you could order it through there. So yeah, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll think about ordering that one because that was such a fun idea. And I'm like, maybe that when the trade paperback comes out, give me a variant of the trade paperback with that indicia cover, because that would be funny to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. Or, yeah, we've gotten everybody's indies, right?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else this week, kids?
I have a question.
Okay.
Is it tacky? Is it out of line to put together a GoFundMe to pay for your divorce filing? I don't know whether or not that's tacky or not. But
I'm going to go with no.
I filed and put in my I'm poor waiver request, and my waiver request was turned down. So they're like, please give us the monies or you can't be divorced. And I'm like, well, I don't have those monies. That's what the other fucking letter was all about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, the worst part is, that's part of the bad part. The worst part is I'm going to have to take parenting classes. So will she. Our youngest turns 18 in about 3 months. But we have to take classes about parenting through divorce.
That waiver
was turned down as well.
That's real dumb.
Real dumb.
Real dumb, friends.
So, anyway, Venmo, the JM Bell. Feel free.
please help this man end this marriage that it should have ended years ago.
Yeah.
Officially ended years ago.
That's all I got.
There you go. I will say, if you love us, why not show it? Hop on over to thecomicbookpodcast.com website. Click on Shop the Shows. Pick up a T-shirt. Pick up a hoodie. Pick up anything. I mean, they're printed on stuff, and they're cheap. They're a lot less expensive than most T-shirts and things you would find because there's no profit point to these. We just sell them at cost. So pick one up.
Cost effective. Cost effective. Cheap?
Cheap, but not cheaply made. They're really well made.
Depends on the shirt. It depends on which shirt you choose. Their basic model shirt is a little thin. So
I will say that if you get it's going to fit a little, it's going to fit exactly at the size you want it to fit, which means it will not be baggy. And if you need it to be baggy, go a size up. That's what I will tell you on those. You guys may have noticed I haven't been wearing my show shirts when we record because, well, they're a little tight right now. I've put on a little bit of fluff, and it's not fun to wear. And then, join our squad over at Patreon, for God's sakes. We have all the fun over on Patreon. This week, we're going to talk about the Eisner Award winners. And that'll be fun, I think. I hope. At least entertaining. So check us out over there. Go to thecomicbookpodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. And I will say, as I always do, until an entire run of Wolverine is just an excuse to get Deadpool back on a team he was already on, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
for at the JM Bell on Venmo. It's for a good cause.
A very good cause.